Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone has had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. We are continuing our sermon series called Walking with Jesus. And throughout this series, we are looking at key points into Jesus' ministry and journey. And the whole point of this series is to make Jesus real, for us to look at how Jesus is fully human. He dealt with things in this life that you deal with, but also how he is fully God, how he knows what is to come, he can do the impossible, and how he is all-powerful. So last week, we got to see the first miracle of Jesus. Some people say it is the first public miracle of Jesus, and that was when Jesus went to celebrate a wedding with his followers, his disciples that he had, and his mother was there, and so was his brothers, and Jesus went to celebrate the joining of this happy couple. And when a celebration happens in a Jewish wedding, it is for 7 full days, and they like to have wine and games and fun. Well, what happened was, during the celebration, the wine actually ran out, and Jesus was asked by his mother, "Can you do something? I know you can. Will you help to keep this celebration going?" And then Jesus, he turned these giant stone jars full of water into wine so that they could keep celebrating the union of this couple. And this shows us a few things, but one of the biggest is that there is a time to celebrate. There is a time to laugh. There is a time to count all the blessings that we have been given in this life, because God made these times for us to enjoy and live this life. And we see that Jesus is doing that as well. Too often we say, well, I need to be in my Bible 24/7, and I need to make sure that I'm doing nothing but praying all the time. But that's not what God has made this life for as well. We are here to celebrate, and Jesus here is also celebrating, and he is the Son of God. So we need to celebrate the amazing things that God has put in our lives as well. So this week, though, we are continuing in the mission of Jesus, and we're going to be reading from John 2, 13 through 25. John 2, 13 through 25 from the front. I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using, we have some in the rows, or we have a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. We're going to read John 2, 13 through 25 in its entirety and talk about what it says. So what we have here is John 2, 13 through 25. It says, "When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, 'Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market.' His disciples remembered that it is written, 'Zeal for your house will consume me.' The Jews then responded to him, 'What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?' Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days.' They replied, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days?' But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person." So when we start off, it's Jesus is traveling. He's traveling again. There's a lot of walking. There's a lot of traveling that happens in his ministry and in his mission. And so Passover. The Passover festival is coming up. And this is a time when the Jews will gather in Jerusalem, and they come from all over. And they celebrate when God brought them out of Egypt and out of slavery. And God told them, "Never forget. Never, ever forget what I've done for you. I want you to have a celebration like no other. I want you to say, praise God for what you've done for us and for your people." And it's so awesome because, again, we get to see there is a time to celebrate. There is a time to say, "God, you are so good." And so Jesus is traveling for the Passover, and he's heading to the big city and to the temple, and the temple is God's temple. This is where God dwells. They make their sacrifices here for their sins. This is like the church of all churches, but even better, because God actually dwells on earth in this place. There is a place called the holiest of holies where God actually is, and there are all these rules for this person to even be there, because if you are covered in sin and you show up in the holiest of holies, right where God is, you'll die. And so it's one of these amazing things where you're saying, right there, right in there. God is there. So when Jesus arrives, he sees some things. Verse 14, it says, he found people selling cattle, selling sheep and doves, and others were sitting at tables and exchanging money. Now, if you stop right there and you look at what's happening, it sounds like a fair. So animals are being sold, money's being exchanged, there's a selling of goods that's happening. To be honest, it reminds me of like the Ohio State Fair. Okay, if you have never been to the Ohio State Fair, I'd say go check it out. I went for the first time a couple years ago. It's huge. I couldn't believe how big it was. I think we went through maybe half of it. And there's so much happening. People are coming from all over. They're coming from other states. And I'm going to tell you, there are so many people on the weekend. All right, if you're going to go there, you're going to not move very much, but there's so much happening. You got entertainment and food, food that probably is going to kill you because it's really bad for you, but it's so tasty. And what do? You gather with your friends and you gather with your family, and there's so much to see. And when we went there, we saw a dog show, and dogs were flipping into pools. And I'm like, what's happening? I don't know, but it's awesome. Okay, we had a great time, and there was a lot of fun to be had. So when you read that, it doesn't sound like such a bad thing when you look at it in that way. But we see that Jesus is mad. And we're not just talking just mad. No, Jesus is furious. And verse 15, Jesus doesn't just walk in and go, oh, guys, What are you doing? This is wrong. I don't like this. Instead, Jesus instantly walks in, sees what's happening, and he goes, yep, I'm making a whip, all right? Instantly, he's like, we're done. We're not going to just start shouting at people. We're going to end this right here and now. It escalated quickly. So we see Jesus is so angry with what is happening, he's going to put a stop to it. Because if a guy walks in and starts saying, this is bad, they're going to be like, okay, be quiet. A guy shows up with a whip, this dude's serious, all right? Now, I'm telling you now, I'm not giving you the go-ahead to go places with a whip, all right? That's not what I'm saying here, but we see here, Jesus, he makes this whip out of cords, and he starts chasing the people out of the temple courts. He gets all the sheep and the cattle and the money changers, and he says, everybody, get out! And then Jesus starts flipping the tables. And if you think about that, this is the tables where all the money is. It's one of those things where you're like, don't do that. That's going to cause chaos. And he's like, I'm done. And he throws it. Again, it is so awesome to see Jesus in this way. And it's for a couple reasons. First, it feels so good to see that Jesus is angry. Now, his anger is a little different than sometimes our anger, but it's really good because we can go, oh, I identify with that. He is fully human. Now, I know anger itself is a struggle of mine, and I know a lot of us have struggles with anger. And if you say, oh no, I don't get angry about anything, I'm always good, I'm telling you right now, get a group of people together and bring up politics. You're gonna see some anger. You're gonna see some blood boiling, okay? People get angry. It happens. Well, here we see Jesus is angry. And he's not just mad at people saying and doing dumb things because we're like, oh, did you hear what they said? It was so mean. No, that's not what it is. Jesus has a righteous anger, and we know why he's angry. It's verse 16. Jesus tells the people, actually, he doesn't tell the people, he yells this because it is serious. And so I'm going to yell it as well. He sees what's happening and he says, stop turning my father's house into a market. This is not what this is for. Jesus is furious on what the temple was made into, what the people are doing in the house of God, what God's followers are doing to the church. And that brings up a very important question for us. What is God's house for? What is the church for? All of this is to glorify God by worshiping him. It's a place for us to go, to repent, to say, I have done wrong. Please forgive me for the things that I've done, for my sins. It's a place for us to follow God closer. And this is still what the church is for today. When we start to bring in other things into the church, we find ourselves looking for comfort in those other things instead of in God. And we're doing it in his house. We look for things like entertainment. We end up going to church because we're like, oh, it feels so good, and I'm just getting away, and I'm distracted, and this is just a place for me to have a good time. And while those things can happen, I know many that look forward to their time here in church. They say, this is what makes me feel great. But that should not be the purpose. You're not here to be entertained. We're here to fall on our knees, to go to God and say, you are so good. And I am not. And then some people come and they're like, I'm here because I want to connect with people. I really want to be in a place where I can really meet with others that have the same ideals that I do. I want to make new friends. I want to have a community where I belong, and I want to be a part of something that's bigger than me with like-minded people. And again, it's not that when this happens, it's wrong. No. You will find people that you connect with. You will find people who are just as like-minded as you, and you will find yourself building a community and a group of friends. But that is not the purpose of the church. That is not the purpose of the house of the Lord. That's actually a beautiful symptom that we get when we come together and gather to worship the Lord and grow in our understanding of Him. That's when you make the community. It's a beautiful symptom. And then there's the number sides of things where people say, oh, look how many people go here. I want to be a part of this. Look how much money's coming in. Look how much money they're giving out. Let this be the hot spot. I want to be a part of this movement and where it's going. I love that there are thousands of people that are showing up here, and I was there. I was a part of it. Again, not that having a lot of people is a bad thing. Having people wanting to come in droves is not a bad thing. But the draw of the church, the reason we should want to be in the house of God, is for one thing and one thing alone, and that is to grow in our understanding of Jesus and God, to worship Him and praise Him, and to take what we learn here to live it in our lives out there. That's the whole reason the church exists. That's the whole reason that we come here. Community happens, but it's not the purpose. Fun is had, but it's not the purpose. Numbers and the amount of people can happen, but it's not the purpose. And that's what we're trying to do right here at Buckeye. Every single person that comes here, every single person that watches online, every single person who hears us on the radio, we are inviting you to help you in a way that will change your life, to strengthen your relationship with God. And that's what we stand for here. So if you don't know, Buckeye has a 3-point vision/mission. That we have been doing. If you've never heard it, you're going to go, oh, that makes sense. If you've already heard it, you're going to go, oh, this is a great reminder. So it's a great thing no matter what. But what we have is we reach, we restore, and we replicate. So reach means to reach those who are far from God, those who are seeking answers and are lost, those who have been hurt by the church and Christians, anyone who is far from God. Reach is what we do. All of our ministries here, all of our sermons, everything we do here is to tell people there is a better way. There is hope. There is fulfillment. But you're not going to find it out there. You're going to find it only with God. Then we have the restore. So once we've reached out and people say, oh, okay, I see that there's something here. This is to restore your relationship with God. You've been seeking answers. You're looking for truth. Well, all of our teachings are about how we are in need of a Savior. All of us. We all know that this world is broken. We know this is messed up. It's not the way it was meant to be. We know that we are messed up. All of us. And what we're telling you is that you can be restored. That Jesus paid a price for you. He died for your sins, for the things that you've done against God. And He wants to give your life. He wants you to give your life to Him by following Him every single day. With everything you do, with everything you say, every aspect of your being, Jesus says, I want you. And you accept Him, and you accept the truth, and you follow Him. And then we have replicate. And that is to replicate Jesus in our lives, and replicate by serving and making new followers, new disciples. This is taking that step in faith. You said, I had someone reach out to me. I am now part of this. I understand that I can be restored. I have accepted Jesus Christ, and now I'm going to live it every day. I'm going to go out there and serve. I'm going to spread the truth that we already know to the people who do not know. It's funny. It's a circle, because once you're doing the replicate piece, you're now the one reaching, and it just keeps going. Reach, restore, replicate. That's the vision for Buckeye. And that means that everything that we do here, it's to glorify God. And that's what brings me to what we're looking to do for 2025 right here. It's something we talked about in the leadership meeting, that this year is going to be a year of reaching.
And we're going to follow Jesus in this story. We want to make sure that in this place, in this temple, in this church, in God's house, it is all about glorifying God. It's not about what we can gain. It's not about what we desire or want. It's all about serving God and bringing Him the glory. And that's why 2025 will be a reach year. Obviously, this is not something that is going to go away. Well, 2026, we're no longer reaching. Okay, no, that's not what this means. It means that we're going to be pouring in to that part of the ministry. That's why we're doing the third service. That's the whole point. It's a reach, to reach the lost in a different way. Our church being on the river, 104.9, that is a reach that we're looking at and seeing if we can even do more in that aspect. The numbers alone of 104.9, the river, is crazy when you hear it. We can reach a certain amount of people with just us in this community and the surrounding communities. There are 100,000 listeners on 104.9, and we are told that a third of them are not followers of Christ, which means that our reach is so much further than we even realize. Our reach can go out to 33,000 people who are searching for the truth. And that's not something that we could just do right here. But I want to make this very clear. This is not just a Pastor John thing. This is not just the leaders that we have here. Well, it's their problem. It's their thing that they have to do. No, this is for all of us. And we see here, Jesus wasn't yelling at the Jewish leaders of the temple. He wasn't saying, "What are you guys doing, you leaders? This is messed up." No, he was talking to the people. He came in angry and said, "What are you people doing? We are the people, all of us. We are called to reach. We are called to help restore. We are called to replicate. And this is God's house. This is God's church. And we're going to glorify Him, all of us. So we ask you that you join us in this mission. Find a place to serve. If you're not sure where to serve, come talk to us. Let's meet and see where your heart is and what God is pulling you towards. And then everything that we do here is going to fit in to us bringing people into a closer relationship with God, every ministry. Another way to serve God and the church is through giving. Everything that we do with money here, it is to grow God's kingdom. If you're wondering, well, where does that even go? Don't worry. Every year we give a very in-depth overview of all the money, if you like. If you're saying, well, I want to know where it's going. It's like 30 pages, I swear. It just keeps going. But that's because we want you to see what we're doing with it. It's to build God's kingdom. And if you love what is happening here, and you come here in person, you watch online, you listen on the radio, you know that God is calling you to give what He's given you already. This is the perfect place to do that. And we have many ways for you to give. And I want you to know, it doesn't matter if you give a dollar or if you give $100,000, all of it is being used to change lives for God. So you may be asking, okay, so why do we even need the money? It's because keeping the lights on and the building functioning, it costs money. When it's cold, we want heat. I do. When it's hot, you want the air conditioning. It's to keep the ministries going. It's to pay for equipment and things so that we can praise God in here and out there. To get the message out, sadly, is not free. It's something that we have to go out and buy these things to make it happen. It also goes for salaries, for those who are called to give their lives, to spread the gospel as their job. And as the church grows, we need and we want to grow the staff here, so we can keep reaching more and more people, because that is the whole goal, is to make sure everyone will know the truth about Jesus Christ and how to follow Him closer. That's why we are here. And this is exactly what Jesus was doing in this story. Jesus said to them, "This is God's house. This is to glorify Him. Do not make it into something it is not meant to be." But we see there was even pushback. Verse 18 with the Jews, not the Jewish leaders, but the people. They come to Him and say, "Well, who are you?" They actually say something even more bold. "You come here and you act like you have authority here, then show us a sign. Show us that, you know, you're all great and wonderful and amazing, and you get to come in here and you get to rebuke us, you get to yell at us, you get to correct us. What gives you that authority?" And then Jesus answers them with, "The temple, it'll be destroyed, and I'm going to raise it again in 3 days." to the people, this statement sounds insane. They're looking around. They're standing in this place that's huge, giant temple and streets and all these different things that are built right here. And they're like, 3 days? I don't know if you know this weird guy, but it took 46 years to build this temple. And it wasn't just one dude. All right, it was a whole giant crew of people that worked to build this for 46 years. But you're going to rebuild it in 3 days? It's not even possible. But Jesus, he was talking about what's to come. Jesus was talking about his body that would be broken and destroyed and killed. And then he'd be raised from the dead in 3 days. Now, obviously, we get this beautiful thing called hindsight. We get to see the whole picture. We get to go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I get it. But the thing is, at the time, they're wondering, who is this guy? What's he talking about? We get to know that he's fully human and fully God. We know that his human side was destroyed. But then he comes back in the same body in 3 days. But it doesn't say that the people believed in Jesus after he said this. It's not that he spoke these words and they went, it's true. We know it's all there. It's not until verse 23 that we see. It says, while Jesus was at the Passover, he performed signs, and that's when they believed in him. But they didn't actually fully believe in him, because you get to verses 24 and 25 that truly matter. And it says, but Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. So what this is saying is some saw the signs, some saw the wonders, and they went, wow, that's awesome. That's amazing. I don't know if you've ever been a part of where something miraculous happens or a teaching just moves everybody and you just get this feeling and you're worshiping and you're like, God, you're so good. This feels awesome. This is amazing. I love it. This is exactly what the people are doing, because they're going, wow, he's special. Wow, he's different. But their hearts, it's not that they believed him in their hearts. They just loved what they were seeing and feeling. And Jesus knew that when push comes to shove, they didn't trust him at all. They didn't want to have to give their lives to him. They loved the feelings that they got from Jesus. They loved to see the miracles and say, I was there when that guy who could never walk, he got up and he walked. They loved that peace. It was so awesome to see. But when it came that Jesus said, now it's time to give up your life, your own wants, desires, your sins, and just say, I'm ready to follow you. No, they said, I don't want to do that. Bring back the miracles. Bring back the fun. Bring back the cool things that make me feel good. They didn't want to follow Jesus when push came to shove. And then they decided it's time to get rid of this troublemaker who's trying to change our way of life. And so what do? They have him arrested, they have him beaten, and they have him killed. And I say, thank God that happened that way. Thank you, God, that you had such an amazing plan to use our gross, dark thoughts, feelings, and actions to change the world forever. To change all of us in our hearts. But this part of Jesus' ministry and journey is so pivotal, and it's so interesting because it's the beginning. We're still at the beginning. We have so much more of Jesus' ministry that we're going to cover here. And right at the beginning, we need to see Jesus is saying, stop. Everyone, every person, stop. Remember why we're here. It is to glorify God. Everything we do here is to worship and bring God glory. And we need to refocus on what all of this is for. And we can do that today in our churches and, more importantly, in our hearts. It starts with your heart. When the miracles are not happening, when the fun stops, when you're alone and people have hurt you, if your heart is for him, guess what? You're going to say, God, you are still so good. You're going to say, God, you are still worthy. We're going to say, God, I will still worship you, whether I'm on the mountaintop and everything's amazing, or if I am in the lowest and lows of darkest places, I am going to worship you, Lord. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to give my all, and I'll give it all to the one who loves me. Let's take what Jesus said here and make this our mission at Buckeye and in our lives. And that's what brings me to the challenge for today. If you are a follower of Christ, if you say, yes, I know who he is, yes, he died for me, yes, I give my life to him, we have to take a moment. Let's look at our lives. Let's look at the house of God. And let's say, yes, God, everything I do is going to be to glorify you. And then let's act. Don't sit on it. Don't just wait and say, someone else will do it. This is for you and your heart. So I'm going to leave you with this last piece. I want you to know this is your mission. This is your church. Join me and the leaders in this mission to focus on reaching this year. And I mean every single one of us. You who are here now, those who are watching this either live or some point later, those who are hearing this on the radio, you are hearing all of this in this moment for a reason. Do not let it pass you by. Refocus. In the house of the Lord, the whole point of being here is to grow closer to him. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Sometimes we need to take a pause, take a minute, and refocus. Whether that's in our churches or in our hearts, we can become so easily distracted. We can become downtrodden by the things of life. But when we are following you, we realize the only thing that matters is glorifying you, saying that God is so good that we're going to worship him through it all. I pray that you give us the strength to be the ones to go out and take that mission to heart and say, we are here to reach, restore, and replicate. And it's all for God's glory. We love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.